Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Walk Your Talk with Leanne here on Life Coach Radio Network. I am so honored that you've chosen to spend your afternoon with us here, as we are going to be talking about a real captivating and exciting topic. As many of you know, adoption is very near and dear to my heart. As an adult adoptee myself, I love the community that God has really allowed me to touch, impact, and learn from, and we're going to be meeting some women from that community today on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. If you have a desire to call in and ask any questions of myself or my guests, I want to invite you. You can call in at 646-716-9397, and I will bring you into the queue, and you can definitely interact with each one of us. So I am Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach. I am the CEO of Legacy Now Lived, which is a coaching firm, and I am a certified well-being coach as well as a leadership coach. And I coach those whose lives have been impacted by adoption, and I help them to navigate the complexities of their adoption journey, the relationships that we have a desire to rebuild or recreate, and I really enjoy the work that I do. I also do a lot with business owners and work with them on really helping them clear away the muck that prevents their businesses from growing. And so just really enjoy the opportunity to come and share twice a month here on Life Coach Radio Network and bring different guests on from all over the world, actually, and all different walks of life. All of my shows are not strictly on adoption, but it is definitely a focus of mine. And if you know somebody that is walking their talk that I need to meet, please, I encourage you to help me to connect with them. I would love to get to know them. So on today's show, you are here on this Thursday because you perhaps are curious about the heart and the life of an adoptee. And that blesses me to know that you are choosing to spend some time to expand your view and think outside the box arena. And I've got some lovely guests here with me today, and I'm just going to give a shout out here to Becky and to Lisa and say thank you so much, ladies, for joining me today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Leanne.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. This show has been a long time in coming. And these two lovely ladies are authors in this beautiful book that we're going to talk about today called The Adoptee Survival Guide. And I had the privilege of writing a preview for this book and looking at the manuscripts that were included in it prior to its publication. And I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I was extremely blessed by all of the lives that had the courage to share their voices and their story in this anthology. So I'm just going to read to you real quick about my review of this book and why I wanted to do this show with you today. This book is as much about thriving as it is surviving. These voices invite each of us to walk into the unknown, unheard, and undervalued sacred voice of the adoptee. Enter into a place of discovery, mystery, unlimited questions, and a kaleidoscope of answers. The stories you will hear will challenge you, inspire you, cause you to reflect and perhaps even cry. That's okay. The Adoptee Survival Guide will enable you to see the forest through the trees. And so with that, I just want to encourage you to pull up a chair, grab your favorite beverage, and join us ladies, as we share our hearts with you. We're going to chat about our lives as adoptees. We're going to talk about what we have learned and what drives us to use our voices today to educate, advocate, legislate, and collaborate with one another to raise adoption consciousness and really bring these different issues, challenges, and complexities to the forefront. And so, oh my goodness, ladies, this is going to be so great fun. I do want to give a shout out to Paige. Paige is going to join us today, and a special extended prayer goes to her as she is dealing with some family issues and was unable to make us today. And so, Paige, our hearts and our prayers are with you. And so, Becky, I would love to start with you. And if you could share a little bit about yourself, and, you know, it would be kind of fun to hear, since this title of our show is Thinking Outside of the Box, I would love to hear what box you feel like you were in or are in today as you do your introduction. And so, everyone, I just encourage you to welcome up Becky to the show today. Hi, Becky.
Well, hello, Leanne. Thank you very much for having me here today. And it's always good to be able to talk about adoption. And as you so eloquently put it, advocating and really creating awareness, raising awareness for what adoption means, because I think we tend to, when you talk about thinking outside the box, I think we tend to put adoption in this little box of taking this poor, unfortunate child from parents who are unable to care for him and just, you know, plopping them in this new family, and everything is as if born to. And that box just isn't always as clean or as tied up with the pretty bow that you would expect it to be. So, I love the opportunity to be able to talk about that. And as you had mentioned earlier, we are adoptee sisters, and it's always good to be able to talk with other adoptees. I was adopted as an infant through a Christian adoption agency at that time, and my adoption occurred in 1962, right in the heart of the baby scoop era, when everything was all closed up and sealed away, and you know, the conventional wisdom was that the mother who gave birth to a child who they relinquished would go on with their lives, and the child would grow up and really never know the difference. And I've been on a journey as far as adoption goes for all of my adult life to really learn about where I came from and who I am, and to put the puzzle pieces together of my identity. In addition to adoption, I am a mom, a grandma, a wife, and a worker in corporate America. So, you know, definitely lots going on in my life beyond adoption, too.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. What a great introduction, Becky. And I just love that you shared that sometimes the adoption box isn't a pretty box tied up with a bow, that there is much more, right? The complexities that are there, while it is beautiful, it's also challenging. And
absolutely.
So thank you for sharing that and these identity issues that each one of us walk into. It's very big and it's very real. And, you know, we can think of the term thinking outside of the box as kind of a business cliche. You know, it can mean like approaching problems in a new or innovative way. But we're here to really think outside the box well before we're even boxed in, right? That there are a lot of different ways to view adoption and many different voices. And over time, since the 60s, there's been a lot of us that have come out and realized that we were struggling perhaps maybe with identity issues, or we really didn't understand what adoption meant to us and what adoption really is. And I think that when we pull back the curtain a little bit, we have all noticed, and you and I shared even before we went live on the air today, that there are so many common threads with those of us who have been impacted by adoption, that it's super fun when we come together and share in conversation to hear those threads, not be afraid of them. Some of them are frayed and cut and goofy. Some of them are the most beautiful we could ever imagine, but the threads are there. And so welcome, and I'm so excited to learn more about you today, Becky.
Thank you.
Excellent. Okay, Lisa, tell us a little bit about you and welcome to Walk Through Talk with Leanne.
Yeah, thank you, Leanne. Well, the big thing for me is I want to help people that are not adopted to realize that adoption begins with trauma. And it is beautiful, but there is so much trauma involved for that little baby. And people, you know, will say, well, how do you know someone or how do you remember someone that you never knew? It's like it's on a cellular level that, you know, we're connected to our birth mothers for 9 months. And how would we not miss them? So I grew up in a closed adoption, and my parents were raised under the blank slate theory, you know, that love would be enough. And unfortunately, that, you know, is not true. And I wish that all the information on trauma had been known when I was growing up. And my parents tried to get me to talk about that, you know, what was going on, and I didn't want to. I didn't think it was safe to. And so I found my birth families 2 years ago, and they did not want contact on my birth mother's side. And I briefly had contact with one brother, and he chose to not have contact after about 6 months. And I think my biggest thing, maybe telling adoptees to not have such high expectations when they go into reunion, because that will kill it. And so I am going to become an attachment and trauma therapist and try to use some of what I went through to turn that into something good and help other adoptees. So that's basically my story.
That's beautiful, Lisa, and that is so needed, right? As we are all in different forms and we have different relationships with those who have been touched by adoption, we understand that more of the complexities around the trauma, around the grief and the loss, around the beauty, and once again, bringing up that common thread that each one of us experience with each other. And you know what's kind of fun, even in this conversation, listening to both of you share, it's one of those beautiful places where you say, oh, you still get me. And so I would love to start the conversation. Becky, I'm going to jump back to you with, what has it meant to you to open yourself up and learn more and grow more within the tapestry of adoption, within this community as a whole?
That's a really good question, Leanne. And I think for me, what it has meant is it's been an affirmation that what I have experienced in my life is shared by many. It is really an incredible thing to be in a room, whether that room be virtual or a physical room, with people who get it. And you realize that the questions that you've had that you grew up with aren't unusual, that they're very common, that, you know, those questions about identity, you're not a freak because you think that way. You know, typically many of us who grow up as adoptees, you know, it's not common topic to talk about, you know, I feel this way about adoption, I've, you know, as a child or a teenager or even a young adult. We don't typically have those conversations that say, you know, I feel a little bit of a loner sometimes. I feel like I'm outside, even in a family gathering when I know people love me. You know, does anybody else feel that way? Well, you know, at my adoptive family, as much as close as I am to them, that's not an experience they understand, because they are all part of that. But when I sit in a room of other adopted people and have that conversation, there has not been a single adoptee who hasn't got that. And that's definitely, for me personally, has been a highlight of being involved with the adoption community. The other piece of it is gathering our voices together to become heard. I think that's what's important about the written word, news stories that have been out recently that talk about reunions. I live in Ohio, where the records for a large group of adoptees just opened up in March, and the newspapers in Ohio have just had a number of tremendous stories about families that have been put back together again. And that happened because groups of people gathered together and spoke up and made things happen.
Absolutely, Becky. You know, we are so better together, and our voices are stronger together, aren't they? And I think about us even coming together today live on the air gives us an opportunity to reach a completely different audience.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the beautiful thing about my radio program is we can share this link with people to help them to understand, because I'm not sure. Well, I am sure, because I've read your beautiful stories in the Adoptee Survival Guidebook. But, you know, we all have struggled with that identity issue, and it's really important that we have our voices to be heard and that we are seen and that we help to educate other people. And we hope to help people to understand, to have the courage to lean in and understand what our heart is and what's really going on with us, because we have a lot to say on the topic, and it does take a lot of courage to have that collective voice to come together to be heard and to share our stories. And yeah, congratulations to Ohio. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
And, you know, thank you, Betsy, for all the work that you did. Betsy Norris, she's been on my show as well, and all of the people who have so painstakingly stayed the course. And really did, they thought outside the box, didn't they, Becky? Really, let's approach this at a whole new level to help bring some healing and restoration into relationships here. So
absolutely. And you spoke about Betsy Norris, who is the founder of Adoption Network Cleveland, and she's the powerhouse behind getting Ohio's law changed. And she's not stopping with Ohio. In a conversation with her last week, she's working with New Jersey to help them implement, you know, their new law that will open access with lessons learned from when Ohio opened. So, you know, people in Ohio are continuing to, you know, pay it forward, as you will, and help other states smoothly roll out some important legislation.
Absolutely. It's so great. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. We've just seen the start, haven't we, ladies, of the movement to really bring a sense of dignity into this arena and a more open approach and a real honest and truthful approach, and what that can release for so many of us. I am just excited to be part of, to witness, and holding great anticipation of what it will bring to the world at large. Because Lisa, you had spoke about how you enjoy speaking with folks, non-adopted people, who have a desire or a curiosity about learning more about trauma, grief, and loss in our adoption community. You know, as I've spoken to people all over the United States and beyond, when I bring up the topic that perhaps it's a grief and loss and there's been some trauma, people's jaws kind of drop and hit the floor. It's like, really? Is that really true? And so, Lisa, speak to that for us and tell us a little bit more about what it's meant to you.
Yeah, I think people are shocked when I, you know, relate that adoption is not all sunshine and rainbows and unicorns, but I have shared some with pastors at my church and members of my church, and they are interested and they do want to learn more, and I've shared with some of my professors at my college, and they're not taught anything about that in my universities, and I think that's something that's got to change, and I want to, you know, help maybe lead the charge in that, and I think I am helping educate my professors, but I don't want to try to ram this stuff down people's throats, but if they want to listen to me, I want to want to be available to, you know, answer their questions. And what I would like to say is I just think there's so many amazing adoptee bloggers out there that are really making our voices heard. And I just connecting with adoptees through Facebook and different avenues has just been life-changing for me and really helped in my healing. So I think adoptees rock.
We so do rock. And I agree with you. Oh, I love that you shared that because we really do. And, you know, we really need each other. I feel that way with all of you. And, you know, I ditto and echo what you share. There are some amazing bloggers out there. And so I encourage anybody who is curious to find out more information, reach out to one of us. Google, you know, adoption restoration or Deanna's blog,
Adoptee Restoration.
Yes. She's got a beautiful blog. So many of us do, and we are sharing our voices. And, you know, I just want to read a little bit here from Paige, who was going to be with us today. And she has this on her website, and I believe she contributed and wrote this on her website. So she's a great resource as well, akintothetruth.com. And so this is what she had to say about the book that we're here to talk about today. And so just we'll take a minute and read what she had to say since she couldn't be with us today. This book isn't just about how to survive being adopted and overwhelmed by government policies and archaic traditions and practices. It's more than that. This compilation of essays is a collective wisdom of many adopted adults from diverse countries, upbringings, and educational experiences. These writers together share their personal views on the positive and not so positive aspects of growing up adopted and how they view the world. Many nuggets of advice are applicable to all people from any walk of life. For example, you are not your past. Focus on the issues, not the person, because you can never change the person, but you can deal with the issues. Give up the illusion that someone else will make you happy. The Adoptee Survival Guide is appropriately titled because by nature, we adopted folk have mad skills in self-preservation and adaptation. Like a chameleon, we blend in when we need to. We move quickly, observe quietly, and have delicate hearts with cool dispositions. However, unlike a tiny lizard, this book shows that adoptees today are learning to bond together, speak out, and educate the modern public on what it's like to grow up as a product of both nature and nurture, with conflicting feelings, unanswered questions about our lives, which non-adoptive people often take for granted. Stop there. There was a lot in that opening that I am super excited to explore with you ladies today. And wow, when you hear me read that, I would love to hear, Becky, what your thoughts are. We shared, you know, about what it's done for us to connect with each other and how important that is. And so, you know, share with us, Becky, what you think. What are some more mad skills, either within self-preservation or adaptation, that you have experienced?
I think what I'll talk about a little bit as far as mad skills, and I think Paige really eloquently alluded to this in her review of the Adoptee Survival Guide, and that is really this, and I'm not using her words, but being willing to take charge and not be a victim, but to do what you need to do for yourself. And the example I will use for that is for many, many years, up until I was over 50 years old, I believed that it was not within my ability to be able to find my birth father. I started testing whether or not that was really true or not, and what I discovered was I really had that information I needed in my hands. I just needed to do the right research and really become my own genealogist or private detective, and I was able to figure out that mystery, and it has been oh so rewarding because it has opened up. My father has been very receptive to a relationship with me. I have a relationship with him and with extended family members, including brothers and a sister. And it is something that I would have never, ever opened up and experienced had I not just decided that this was my right to do this, that I needed to, that I just needed to take that power for myself. And do so. And I really think that's a lot of what Paige has tried to talk about. And I think that when you look at the writings and the speaking, all of the voices of the adoptee community who are out there today, I think you'll see that as a very common thread running through, is that we do have those rights, and we need to believe that it is our right, and we need to take action that we can.
Mm-hmm. And we have the privilege in order to do that. And, I kind of, what came up for me when you were sharing, Becky, was I felt like a bloodhound dog when I was doing all my research to find information about my first family, both sides. I was relentless. I often call it a relentless pursuit of the truth. And I didn't give up until I had answers. And it sounds like, once you stepped into that, it was the same for you. And we do have the ability to find this out. And oftentimes the box that we can be put in is, why would you want to search that's in the past and what's preventing you from living now? And I think you just did a beautiful job of opening that up for us.
Well,
because
thank
you. Do have the ability. We have, you're welcome, and the curiosity, right, to seek out the truth.
Right, and so, if I could add just one more thing, Leanne, I think something that you just said brought up for me is, a lot of times I think we assume we try to imagine how that other person would feel. We try to answer questions for them. Would they want to be found? We try to imagine what the situation was at the time that we were placed for adoption. And until we're able to ask the people who were there at that time for answers, we really don't know. We don't know how someone else is going to respond to us. And the only way we're going to find out is if we reach out.
Right. Totally owning that and stepping into it, because we can make a lot of assumptions. Can't we? Lisa and I have talked about this as well. So Lisa, I'm going to jump over to you here real quick. Oh my goodness. Do our thoughts have a party? And do we oftentimes make assumptions and have expectations that can be all over the map? Holy cow. So what do you have to say about that, Lisa?
Yeah, I think that I attributed a lot of wrong motives to my first family when I didn't really know where they were coming from. And it's like I said, I placed too many expectations on my brother. I thought that I could undo the previous 43 years that I did not have him in my life and make up for that. And there is just no way to do that in reunion. You cannot make up for the lost time or the lack of shared history. You just have to kind of go from where you are now and get to know one another. And I just wish now I had not jumped in and placed much on him, because it just overwhelmed him.
Right. And so, I love that you brought that up, Lisa, because I think I'm a very much a metaphor girl. And I think of an adoptee's journey oftentimes feels like a river that was flowing, right, for 9 months. We grew in our mother's womb for about a 9-month period of time, and that river was fully flowing. And then when the adoption journey began for us, then it felt like kind of a block was put in that river. And so it was dammed up, so to speak. And then when we are on the reunion journey or on an identity journey, it's like that dam has been broken, right? We're getting some holes that are coming through that, and the water's starting to flow again. And sometimes for those of us adoptees, we just break down that dam right away and the water starts rushing. And we just want all of this information to come back in and keep that flow going. And sometimes that can scare people, right, in our sphere, yeah. in our families, because they don't understand it, whether it be someone intimately involved in our family or even the outside folks watching us navigate this new flow. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I just liken it to like a starving person who hasn't had food in many years, and you just want to run right up there and jump in, and it just may not be very well received by that other person. My brother, you know, was raised with his family, and so he didn't have that yearning for connection like I did. And I would just say to go slow when you're going into reunion and to not have too high of expectations. That's my best advice.
Mm-hmm. And so, Lisa, I appreciate you sharing that so very much, because we can, when especially, right, Becky, you can probably speak to this, in Ohio, everybody's getting their information, and they're trying to figure out, how do I go about doing that? And what are some first steps that I can take? And so in the second half of our show, I'd like to talk about that a little bit, but I really do want to chat more about your personal stories and the reason that you were so excited about joining in on this book and joining with Lynn Grubb. Hey, Lynn, from afar, you couldn't be here with us today, but just really talking about the importance of this, of having the compilation of all of our stories together in one place. What a beautiful privilege that is. Because we can go to this resource to learn from each other so we can navigate this with more confidence and a sense of sisterhood and brotherhood that maybe we didn't have on the outside. And so I'd love it if you both could speak to what being part of this anthology, particularly the Adoptee Survival Guide, has meant to you in your building of relationship or restoring your own hearts on that journey. And so let's speak to that real quick. And Becky, do you want to start with that?
Sure. For me, I think anthologies hold a very important place in adoption literature, because you get a lot of different viewpoints around a common theme. When you read someone's memoir, though those are very interesting, and there are many, many great ones out there, you're getting one person's perspective. In an anthology, you get so many perspectives that all weave together, and you can see those common threads that we talked about running through the Adoptee Survival Guide and other anthologies that are out there that speak, that contain the adoptee voice. And I think it is important. I love how Lisa talks about wanting to reach people who are not adopted and help them understand the adoptee community. And I think that that is extremely important. For me, I think it's important for other adopted people to understand that they aren't alone, because I think there are a lot of people, even as adults, who are just a little bit scared to put their toe in that water. And, they've grown up feeling that it's a betrayal to their adoptive family, and they worry perhaps about the emotional toll on themselves or on their birth family should they take that step to search. And I think for me, it's important to be able to be a part of those types of communications, or writings or podcasts such as this, that will give people that maybe haven't talked to a lot of other adoptees and just haven't had the courage or the opportunity to reach out to other people to get a lot of different viewpoints and perspectives.
Beautifully said, because there are some blocks, right, Becky, that stop us from listening or stop us from sharing.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, and that's why I love to do radio. Actually, that's one of the oh, how would you say? It's the gas for my engine that fuels me to keep going on radio, is because people can listen in the privacy of their own home and nobody even has to know that they are listening to educate themselves surrounding the topic of adoption. Because some people are still very afraid to bridge the gap or start the conversation in this arena for those different fears of loyalty or emotional tolls that you spoke of. And so, you know, we're here to say, please don't be afraid to ask us. And I think, Lisa, you and I have spoken as well about, we want to share, please ask us. What I tell people in my sphere of influence is, it is a gift if you ask me the question, what's it like to be you? How has it impacted you growing up adopted? And so anyway, I just kind of wanted to put that caveat out there that I am open to share. Please don't be afraid to ask me anything, no matter who you are. You could be a bio cousin, a bio sister or brother. You could be someone from the community that has always wanted to adopt, but never had anybody to speak to about it. And, you know, we're here to say, collectively, we're available to share. And so, Lisa, you've had some opportunities, like you said, about being able to share with professors and people within that professional arena. You know, what's that done for you and for their awareness?
Well, I think for me, anytime I can, you know, speak about what I've gone through, that helps me more, process it better and maybe go a step further in my healing. And to help other people, you know, gain an understanding of what that is like. And I think it's just so necessary for especially the psychological field, because it's not really even taught. And I just see it as an opportunity to just continue pushing down those barriers and just, you know, making our voices heard. And I think it's exciting.
You know, I really agree. And one way to think outside of the box is to be curious about another person's viewpoint or story and to release the judgments that we could wrap around that and just be teachable. So, you know, I want to encourage our listeners, go to the library, pick up a book, go on Amazon, order a copy of the Adoptee Survival Guide so you can understand more about it, what it is like for an adopted person. And, you know, there's a lot of family members just within my own sphere of influence that maybe don't fully understanding or don't fully understand the end. Why do you do the work that you do? What is this? And why are you so vocal about it? Well, there are reasons. And we just might find a new link between ourselves, even if we're not an adopted person or touched by adoption, and that community. Because there are some common threads within all of humanity. We all have a desire to know who we are, why we're here, and we try every day to make sense of our stories. And so you just might find an adoptee sister or brother that you can really learn from and connect with on a deeper, less superficial level that may open up a whole new world for you and around you. And so I love that. You two are so fun. Do you believe we are 40 minutes into our show?
It's
going
fast.
This is crazy. It does go really fast, and I'm super excited. I'm going to take a quick break here real quick and announce some upcoming shows that we have here on Life Coach Radio Network. So on tomorrow, you can create your bliss with Nika Annan. And on the 8th, you can reveal your excellence. And on the 12th, you can find out about living your best life with a colleague and friend of mine, Jan Jaffe, and she is actually interviewing another beautiful colleague and dear friend of mine, Gina Costa-Goldfarb, and she's going to talk about her cancer journey and what that has been like to learn to survive a cancer diagnosis and treatment and then start thriving in her life. And so I want to encourage all of our listeners to reach out and find out more about Life Coach Radio Network. You know, we're over 40 coaches to you each and every day on three different networks. And we just have a blast together educating, inspiring, and challenging you here on our radio program. And so just want to invite you to find out more about each one of the coaches here represented. And so, ladies, we have just had the most amazing conversation as we are journeying into thinking outside of the box within the world of adoption. And we do have somebody on the line. I just want to bring them on and see if perhaps they have a question or a thought so I don't dismiss them. And so give me just 1 second. 302, you are live with Leanne on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. Did you have a thought or a question, or are you just here in listening mode? Okay, great. Listening mode, I'll take it. Thank you for being here. All right, ladies, we are going to jump into the second half of our program here. And, oh, my goodness, before we go any further, share with me, Becky, we'll start with you. Share with me about what stops people from listening to the voices within the tapestry of adoption.
I would say, in my experience, I think fear is a big one. So, for instance, another adoptive parent started having conversations with me about some of the questions that they might anticipate that their adopted child would have as they got a little bit older. And those conversations stopped pretty quickly. And I think that there was some, I think that my being kind but honest about my thoughts and beliefs and my experiences, I think scared them a little bit. So I think fear is a big one. It's a very emotionally wrought topic when you are a part of the adoption tapestry. I think that if you haven't dealt with your own emotions, it's very hard to hear the honest emotions of someone else who has spent a great deal of time working through a lot of different thoughts and feelings that they've had on the issue of adoption. And I've talked with natural parents or birth parents who have those same thoughts. It's scary for them to speak with adoptees because they are afraid of what they are going to hear.
That just blesses my heart to hear you share that. You said it so beautifully, Becky. If you have not dealt with your own feelings, emotions, and relationship that you have with adoption, you cannot authentically hear another voice within that arena. I paraphrased what you said. But
beautifully so, too.
And I'm so glad this is recorded so we can rewind and glean this wisdom and inspiration and information from each other. It is so important to be able to do that. And it takes courage to lean in and listen. It takes a tremendous amount of courage, and it takes an open and ready heart. And so I just want to put the caveat out there. If you do not have a support system around you, listeners, please reach out to somebody that you can bounce all of these thoughts that are spinning through your head right now with. It's super important that we each know that we are not alone on this journey. And I have beautiful friends within the entire tapestry of adoption that I learn and grow with every day. And, you know, my heart, thank you to each one of you who have impacted my life and helped me to learn and helped me to think outside of the box. So thank you for sharing that. Awesome. And so, Lisa, what about you? What, in addition to what has been shared so far, have you found that stops people from listening?
Well, I think in my experience that people ignore what they don't understand or causes feelings of discomfort. So I agree with what Becky said, that if they are not in touch with their own feelings, they sure are not going to be able to understand where we are coming from.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's really easy. And that was so beautifully, wow, you put that so tightened up with a bow that we will ignore what we don't understand. And we push it aside, what we don't understand, because we don't like to be uncomfortable. But what I tell people, you know, as a leadership, and, you know, people have called me a reunion coach, all of these things that I am helping the adoption community navigate, it's like, that is what we do, is we seek to understand, and we stop pushing things under the rug and stop ignoring what's right here. You know, I have had people share, it's like the pink elephant in the room. It's always there. And so, you know, how about we get it back to the original state of a gray elephant, and let's really talk about all the wrinkles and, you know, kind of the big footprint that it leaves in all of our lives. And it's really freeing. You know, I've had the privilege of attending and speaking at the American Adoption Congress International Convention. I will be doing that again this next year in Denver. Super excited about that. And, you know, when we collectively can come together and seek to understand what it's like for every person, then we can't ignore it anymore. And that's why I think, just like Betsy Norris, the adoptees roar in Ohio, that's why we're able to roar, because we are not willing to let it be ignored or to ignore it anymore on our journey. I know for me, as an adoptee, when I was ready to stop ignoring the impact that it had on my life, then I started to heal and I started to acknowledge it. And I have, you know, a great adoptive family, but I still, you know, there's four of us in my family, ladies, that we were all four adopted, two older brothers and a younger sister. I was number three in the bunch, and we all have a different experience. We all experienced our adoptive family different, as well as our journeys into restoring relationship or connection with our biological families. And I think to honor that, that each one of us, we have these common threads, but our stories are uniquely ours. And just because you heard one doesn't mean you heard them all. And so hence, again, the beauty of anthology in that arena. So how cool is that? We've just really brought that full circle. And, you know, I'd love to hear now, I want to know how y'all began your writing journey, because I had an opportunity to participate in this anthology, and I love to write, but for some reason, I didn't get it in, and I haven't written down my whole story yet. I talk about it a lot, but getting the pen to paper has been a little bit challenging for me. I'm figuring out why that is as I'm being coached through that and walking with others. But I'd love to hear more, Becky, about how you began that journey and the courage to submit into this anthology.
Well, Leanne, that's really a good question. And I think what it boils down to for me is I think and I process thoughts when I have a pen in my hand. And that has always been, you know, for we all have our unique ways of processing life, processing, you know, a problem, processing, you know, something that we're excited about. And for me, it has always been the written word. I grew up loving to read stories of other people. That's how I learned, through the written word. So it's a very natural medium for me to be able to express what I have to say. And I learn from that. I learn not only from reading what other people have written, but I learn a lot about how I process things and about myself by writing. So that's what has always interested me about writing. And as far as writing specifically about adoption, that's really a scary thing, because you're really putting yourself out there, and it's a sensitive topic. It's one that can that there are a lot of different thoughts and feelings on. So it's a little bit nerve-wracking the first time you're putting something out there that's just that feels a little bit personal. But I always look at it in the written word. It's like I'm not just spewing a story just for me to be able to get it out there. I want to look at what I'm writing with, what do I hope others will take from this, and what do I hope they will be able to use to be able to process something in their own life.
Amazing. And so by writing for this anthology, what did you want to convey most of all? What was the most important when you set that intention?
It goes back to what I talked about a little bit earlier, and it's really taking charge of your own thoughts and emotions and your own story, and doing what you need to do, not ignoring the thoughts and feelings of other people. I think very much you always have to keep that in mind in the when you're dealing with reunion and searching and that type of thing. But really what I wanted to convey is we really do have a lot more power than we believe. And sometimes those answers can be surprising. Sometimes if we let ourselves think outside of that box and not put limits on what might be, the result can be very joyful and very fulfilling, not only for ourselves, but for all of the people around us.
So what might be? There you go. You just nailed a beautiful analogy of the written word and just trusting the process of letting each reader have their own experience with your story and letting them journey through their own thoughts and emotions and behaviors that come up for them as they read. And I know when I, you know, I felt like I was a member of the Bobby Head Club when I was reading the Adoptee Survival Guide with each one of your stories. Just, I felt such a connection and kinship with you, and it allowed me to go deeper with my own story and my thoughts and to really explore more about you and be curious about you, but then also to look at different ways perhaps that I was impacted. And so thank you for the gift in that. And, you know, really doing what you needed to do for you is a beautiful gift, because nobody else has your voice and no one else can offer up your story to the world except for you. And it sounds like it was, you know, key in your own healing and your own personal journey, as well as helping you to kind of put those thoughts, emotions, and behaviors in such a way that you could understand it better and make sense of your own story.
That makes sense.
Beautiful. How about you, Lisa? What was your intention, and what do you want to make sure that people know when it comes to your adoption journey and the world of adoption at large? Because you're going to be serving, you know, at a real professional capacity, kind of like I am. What do you want people to know?
Well, I got into writing when I was a kid. I've always loved to write. And for me, writing is very cathartic and has helped in my healing journey. And I think what I want people to know is that you're powerful and you're beautiful, and, you know, choices were maybe made for us that beyond maybe our control, but we do have the power now to create a really powerful life and be led by God. And I will say God has been the one I give the most credit to for my healing, and I think finding my family too, because it led me to finding myself, which that's the greatest gift of all. I just want to, you know, help others and, you know, find their authentic selves and live a life that they're meant to live.
Oh, I love that, Lisa. That was so beautiful. And, you know, the same, I can just echo what you shared about, so for me, I've been in reunion now with my biological family for half of my life. So I found them all when I was 25 years of age. And just turned 50 this year, and I'm so grateful. You know, we still have work to do, right? Figuring out, it's a daily choice to be in relationship with anyone. You know, I even tell my biological children, I have two, and, you know, it's a choice for them to stay in community and in relationship with me, and it's a choice for me to do the same. And we have an opportunity to find more of ourselves every day. And so thank you for sharing that. That was beautiful. Because I think for me, I felt like I was, you know, I wanted to be an eclair. And I was like a donut with a hole in the middle. And I wanted to find that hole. And finding my biological family filled that for me. And it's been a journey, right, as I continue to put the custard filling in, see all my metaphors, I'm a junkie. But really, you know, that the relationship building and the ins and outs of all of that have helped me put the filling in. And it's just been such a huge blessing in my life. And I, too, just live all the glory to God. You know, I often say, if it wasn't for him, I never would have found my family. And, you know, he had a plan at the beginning that we would be reunited. You know, he is a God not of confusion, but of restoration. And I think that when we, you know, cling to that, he really does open up some doors for us to be able to experience healing, to get those thoughts under control, to understand our journey and our emotions, and then end the silence and really seek the truth. I, through the coaching journey, I work with my folks a lot on figuring out what their core values are. And through my journey, I have found out that family honesty is one of my extremely strong values that I am not willing to negotiate on. And I don't like secrets or anything withheld. And so I'm curious, either one of you two feel like that might resonate with you a little bit?
Leanne, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find an adoptee who doesn't have some really strong feelings about secrecy and the role that, and the fact that it really should not play a role in family relationships. There is really nothing to be gained. You know, my personal worldview of that is that there is nothing to be gained by maintaining secrecy over issues that are important to another person's identity within your family. And I think that's a common thread, again, as we've talked about. Everybody's experience is unique with that, but I think that resonates loud and clear from the adoptee community.
Mm. Agreed. Lisa, what other common threads do you see?
Well, I will say I despise secrecy, and my birth family history on both sides is not good, but I would rather know the awful truth than not know anything. So I just think the truth will set you free.
Oh, agreed. You know, and every adoptee that I have spoken with says the same. I have not heard one person say, I don't want to know the truth, even if it's hard. Now, sometimes, you know, we do need to have support around us, right? When we do get information, we have the opportunity and responsibility for that self-care piece to make sure that we're not on this journey alone. And it sometimes takes courage to link arms with another and say we don't have it all figured out on our own. And so I really appreciate you bringing that up, because there are challenging scenarios surrounding the tapestry of adoption. Some of the threads are black. They're really dark and they're really hard. But the secrecy and the stories that we can create in our mind and the assumptions that we can make can sometimes be much more damaging to us than the truth itself. What do you think about that, Becky?
I agree. I think that those secrets can be damaging to adoptive family relationships. One of the things I remember very distinctly is when I first saw my original birth certificate and my adoption papers back in when I was about 19 years old, I very clearly remember seeing my parents, my adoptive parents' signature on a form that had my original birth name on that. And it was a long time before I had the courage to speak with my adoptive parents about that, because I was very hurt by that, because they had told me they had no idea what my name had been before I had been adopted. And once I talked with them, the truth was they don't remember seeing that paper, that name on that paper. It was just one of those, like when you sign a mortgage, it's a terrible analogy, but, you know, they're signing papers. It was an exciting event for them that my adoption was going to be finalized. And, you know, in the courtroom atmosphere, they weren't reading every line, and they didn't remember that. And had I not spoke with them about that, I would still be carrying that hurt.
Wow. And so what you thought was a betrayal turned out to not be a betrayal at all.
Right.
But it was just, I just don't even remember. Wow. Thank you for sharing. That's pretty key. Yeah. And that's where our thoughts can go, right? Mm-hmm. What about you, Lisa? What's something that you learned?
About what?
Yeah, about releasing secrecy, not accepting any secrecy, but really diving into the journey, and maybe a thought or something you created in your mind that you found out not to be true.
Well, I think for me, I had created like this unrealistic image of my birth parents, you know, the fantasy image, and I found out that that was anything but the truth, but still, I will just say I'm happy to know my truth, and it's aided so much in my healing journey. So what I would say to adoptive parents is do not hold back anything, any piece of information that you know. I have heard of too many late discovery adoptees that, you know, it just devastates their lives, and I cannot even imagine living that kind of a story. So just be truthful.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Well, ladies, we are at the top of the hour, and we could talk all afternoon for the rest of our lives and never finish this conversation. And, you know, I'm so honored that you took time out of your busy lives and granted me the gift of your generosity of time today, sharing your heart, embracing the vision that you have to raise awareness, to dispel the secrets, and to really pull back the curtain here and help us to see the common threads in all of our lives, and really that gift of thinking outside of the box. How important that is in a very unfamiliar genre for many people to be able to do that, and to help us all really with the written word, as well as helping us have a mental picture about the ups and downs, bends and wiggles, challenges, and triumph within the adoption journey. So thank you both so much for sharing that. And, you know, please, ladies, share with us if anybody has any questions or wants to know more about you. Is there any way that they can get a hold of you, Becky, and know more?
Sure. There are two ways that you can reach me. First, I blog occasionally about adoption-related topics at puzzlesandpossibilities.com. Mm. And you can also reach out to me directly by email at becky@beckydrinnen.com. And my last name is spelled D-R-I-N-N-E-N.
Beautiful. Thanks, Becky. How about you, Lisa?
I don't have a blog, but the easiest way to reach me is probably through my personal email, which is Lisa. F, the number 2, underscore 1999 at yahoo.com, and I am also on Facebook.
Okay, great. Thank you, Lisa. And you can get the Adoptee Survival Guide in your hands yourself on Amazon.com. I will post the link on my Facebook, as well as it will be eventually on my website. I really want to encourage all of you to reach out, get this book, educate yourself, step into the life, into the heart, into the mind of an adopted person. You will gain so much wisdom from each heart represented here. And I just really want to encourage you to do that. I have my copy in my hands right now. I cherish it. I also will be donating a copy to my local public library so my community can have a greater understanding. And I also want to give a plug for that. If you're going to buy one, buy two. And give one, share one, donate one, even if it's to your local family resource center, your local hospital, a school, perhaps there's a teacher that you know who could benefit from finding out more information about the heart of an adoptee. So again, this is Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach here at Life Coach Radio Network, very, very with a heart of gratitude to each one of you for tuning in today and sharing time with me. Lisa and Becky, my heart is just so bursting with love for both of you and with an overwhelming sense of gratitude and thankfulness for your time today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you for letting me be here and share my heart.
Absolutely. And stay tuned for more, folks, because there is much more coming down the pike as those of us adoptees and all of us within the tapestry of adoption seek to educate, collaborate, legislate, and grow together so our voices become strong to learn more about each other and to educate the world. So stay tuned for more to come. And I encourage you all to reach out if you have any questions, comments, thoughts. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. You can also find me on my website, which is thewalkyourtalkcoach.com. And I would love to chat with you more about your adoption journey or life in general. Until next time, God bless, be well, and don't be afraid to walk your talk and step into your legacy. Love you all. Take care now.